Well, friends, we now begin with the end of our area of our discussion on the Patents Act 1970 with regard to infringement and remedies. The learning objectives of this chapter talks about what exactly is infringement, what are the features of infringement, in such an eventuality, what are the various remedies available to the plaintiff as against the defendant, the opposite party, and the area with regard to the jurisdiction of the courts to decide on such an infringement. We now commence with the area on infringement. The rights of the patentee are infringed by anyone who makes or supplies that substance commercially for use by others, even though he does not know that it is that substance that he is making or supplying. In a suit for infringement of patent, the plaintiff must prove that during the continuance of his patent, the defendants have made, sold, or used the invention without his license, or counterfeited it, or imitated it. Now, let me put it in very simple terminology. An infringement is a violation or a breach of a monopoly right which is granted to the patentee, that is, the person to whom the patent is granted, who is the inventor of that invention. So when a third party breaks this monopoly right or commits a breach, in our language, that is the contractual language, when there is a breach of contract, we call it as infringement. Now, as far as infringement is concerned, there are three important aspects that we have to look into. Now, when it comes to a product, it is a substance, it is an article. Is the alleged act by the infringer amounting to the making, the using, the selling or distributing of the same product as that of the inventor or patentee? That is the first ground. Now, in Raj Prakash versus Manish Chaudhary, it was held that in the event of a process, it is a method, it is a way of bringing out a new substance. Now, as far as this process or this method is concerned, has it already been covered by the patentee in his invention? Then it amounts to an infringement. Thirdly, now, the question arises, the patentee, have you been granted a patent or the monopoly right on the basis of a provisional specification or a complete specification? Now, what is the difference, my friends, as far as provisional and complete is concerned? Provisional is a temporary description of the methodology or the invention, whereas a complete specification is the usage, the technical application which goes for which only on the basis of a complete specification legal remedies are available in the event of an infringement. So finally, what are the courts to decide? The court has to decide whether there is complete copying or imitation, in that the infringer has taken the invention completely and claimed it as his own. If that is so, well, the answer is yes, there is an infringement. Now, coming down to the jurisdiction. Jurisdiction means the area or the territorial limits of the court who will decide on the case whether there is any kind of a violation or no. Now, as far as infringement is concerned, the initial territorial rights rest with the district court. If there is a counter case for revocation, revocation means to withdraw the patent, this will be made by the defendant in a high court. Coming down to the burden of proof, in case of any suit concerning infringement, the court may direct the defendant to prove that the process used by him to obtain the product is identical to the product of the patented process and it is different from the patented process. Now, before I go down to the various kinds of burden of proof, let me give you a glimpse of what exactly are the main features of infringement and thereby what is the burden underlying between the plaintiff and the defendant. Coming down to what is infringement, the patent, let it be a company called Ranbaxy, let it be an illustration as far as Castrol Limited is concerned, whereby the very invention of these companies, when the plaintiff says or claims that the use, the method of any kind of product is sought to be imitated by the defendant, there is said to be an infringement. Of course, in such a case, the company has to prove what are the various particulars as far as infringement is concerned. Secondly, we have an area which is called colorable imitation. In a colorable imitation, the defendant takes most of the essential features of the patentee. He makes certain additions or alterations and claims that it is his own invention. The pith and marrow technique. This was laid down in a case study by Clark versus Erie, where Lord Cairns laid down that not only the substance but the similarities to such an extent that the total effect is the same as that of the original patent. If that is so, here is there an infringement. Mechanical equivalence. Here, the non-essential features are taken into consideration and the legal processes or the methods are sought to be copied by the infringer. We say it is a mechanical equivalent. Well, in all the cases, the persons who are liable are the defendants and all the manufacturers who obtain certain rights from these defendants directly or indirectly are the people who are required to be accountable as far as the plaintiff is concerned. Now, when it comes to burden of proof, the defendant is required to prove that, well, as far as the product is concerned, all the making and the using of the product or the process is already under a legal process of registration, which is already granted, has to be proved by the defendant. Secondly, the defendant states that the process is one which is not an imitation, but it is already used by him in his process, which is already patented. Now, let us come down to the area of reliefs on patent infringement. It includes an injunction, a damage, or an account of profit. Well, let me explain these three areas. Injunction. The plaintiff, as I said, to give you just an illustration, we have in America whereby our own basmati rice, which was produced by the Indian exporters, the Indian manufacturers, was sought to be infringed by the Americans, whereby they came out with a patent called Casmati. And they said, this is equivalent to basmati rice. Dr. Vandana Shiva, a research scientist, filed a suit immediately and said, this is a theft of intellectual property as to patent as far as the invention is concerned, because it is stealing from the farmers their very area as far as biodiversity is concerned, and therefore it has to be immediately stopped and the defendants shall not be allowed to carry it forward. So this was a very important case study way back in 1997, wherein a suit for infringement was initially pointed out. Now, what is an injunction? It is a stay order brought in by the plaintiff stating that somewhere down the line, the defendant shall not continue to use either the product, the substance, or the invention, as the case may be. Now, what is the solution to this? The plaintiff tells the defendant, right, if there is given a license of right, or I give you a compulsory license, right, on the basis of a monetary consideration, the stay order will no longer be there. So, this kind of an injunction could be either on an interim or a temporary basis, or it could be on a final determination, which is called as a final injunction. Secondly, damages. If the patentee has suffered a loss, what is the loss of profit for his business that has been encountered will be immediately taken into consideration. Now, when we say an account of damages, you will recall that when we did Indian Contract Act 1872, we said, supposing there is a breach of contract, what will be the account of damages? It is the differentiation between the contract price and the market price arising out of breach. So here immediately, whatever is the loss that is sustained by the plaintiff is sought to be reimbursed or compensated back to him. Now, as far as the area of consequences are concerned, to what extent is the plaintiff entitled? Any damage which is the direct consequence of the loss in profit arising due to the defendant's error is the amount of claim that can be entertained by the plaintiff. Now, coming down as far as account for profits are concerned, supposing the defendant has made profits here, what is the net profit that has been made by him and how much has it been appropriated will be the area wherein the plaintiff is entertaining such an area so that he is allowed to claim the account for damages and the loss of profit. In a nutshell, the court tells the defendant, supposing there are any infringing materials, equipments or machinery, and it is sought to be incorporated by you in that particular product, it shall be forfeited, it shall be terminated, or it shall be completely destroyed by the controller or by the court authorities, as the case may be. So here is an area where the court has discretionary orders to completely stop or completely destroy the so-called patent or invention, asking the defendant to stop and pay for damages, which is an order as far as relief in the event of infringement. What are the various defenses in a suit for infringement? That means, what will the opposite party claim in the event that a suit is filed that the patentee has lost or his rights have been violated? A declaration as to non-infringement, relief in cases of groundless threats of infringement under section 106. Now, first let me come down to the various defenses in the suits for infringement. The opposite party says that for some reason, as far as the patentee is concerned, he is not the first inventor and therefore there is already a patent or an invention before that. He states that there is nothing obvious or there is nothing inventive about it and therefore it is already anticipated. So all the grounds for revocation of a patent is the first ground for defense which is adopted by the opposite party. The second ground that he states is that he says that I'm sorry, I was really innocent because I didn't know, I was essentially not aware that the invention was there before the infringement. And therefore, it was a mistake innocently committed by me. And this is the second area that he claims as a defense, or that the opposite party or the patentee was a person who did not renew his patent after a period of time, and therefore for the non-payment of renewal fees was an area whereby this opposite party thought that he could have any of his products used by him. Or the third area wherein the opposite party states is that the product or the invention carried out by him was much before the amendment of the specifications that was done by him. So here are some of the areas wherein he claims as defenses or grounds where he wants to defend himself, stating that there is no infringement done by him. Coming down to a declaration as to non-infringement, section 105 says, wherever the making or the using or the distributing of the product as far as this importation is concerned is an entitlement or permitted under the rules of India, or any kind of importation is permitted as far as the product or the process is concerned, there is no question of infringement at all. And here is a declaration or an anticipatory declaration that the plaintiff is trying to prove that there is no question of any kind of an infringement that he thinks. Moving down to relief in cases of groundless threats of infringement. Here there is no base, but there is a threat or a kind of a force or any kind of a measure of a threat given by the plaintiff unto the defendant. Where any person threatens any other person by a circular or advertisement or by a communication, oral or in writing, with proceedings for infringement of a patent, any person aggrieved. Now, aggrieved is a person who is having a grievance or who is having a complaint or an issue. Now, this person, namely the patentee, may bring a suit against him, that is the defendant, for the following reliefs. A declaration to the effect that the threats are not justifiable, an injunction against the continuance of the threat, and such damages, if any, that he has sustained thereby. When acts are not considered as infringement of patent rights. We have two areas under section 107 which states that any act of making, constructing, using, selling or importing a patented invention solely for the development and submission of information required under any law. That is, if the government is requiring it for any of its usage, and this is as far as the process is concerned or as far as any kind of a product is concerned, which is imported into India and it is meant for governmental use, we say there is no question of any kind of infringement or violation of a right. Similarly, importation of patented products by any person from a person who is duly authorized under the law to produce, sell or distribute the product does not amount to an infringement. The question now arises, when is a relief by way of damages or an account of profits, when can it be refused? Now here, section 111 under the Patents Act says, these are areas whereby the patentee files a suit or a legal proceeding against the defendant, but the defendant or the opposite party is not required to pay any kind of money or compensation by way of damages. Which are these cases? The defendant states that he is not aware about the existence of the patent unless the word patent or patented appears on the article. That is, he was actually innocent and he did not know that the patented article was already there published in the official gazette. A failure to pay renewal fee within the prescribed period and before any extension of that period. That is, the patentee had a period, say 20 years. Now, after the 20 years or after every year, there is required to make a renewal of a fee or a payment. When that is not sought to be paid on time, the defendant says he thought that the patent was abandoned and therefore made use of the invention. Coming down to the rights of an exclusive licensee against infringement. Now, who is an exclusive licensee? A licensee on an exclusive basis is a man to whom a right is given by the patentee or the inventor on a contractual basis that he will be paying him consideration for using this license. Now, supposing the invention is sought to be breached, this exclusive licensee also has a right to file a suit like the original patentee. So just like the original patentee has a right of infringement, the exclusive licensee also has a right against the third party, wherein he may either join the patentee as a defendant or individually he files a suit against the third party for damages. Rights of a compulsory licensee. After a period of 3 years after the sealing of the patent, any person on the basis of a valid consideration acquires a right or a license from the inventor, and this gentleman is called as a compulsory licensee. In the event of a compulsory licensee, he actually requests the patentee that, can I have you requested to file a suit for infringement? If the patentee refuses, then the person in the capacity of a compulsory licensee moves for a case of infringement against the third party in his own individual capacity. Coming down to validity of the claim. Are the claims or the demands made by the patentee valid or invalid? Now, the High Court, which has territorial jurisdiction, will uphold only those claims which are valid, but those which are invalid. What do you mean by invalid? The invention is already there. The patentee has obtained it by fraudulent means. There is no technicality, there is no inventive step at all. And if that is so, we say that there can be no validity of the claim, and therefore it is sought to be contested by the defendant, and the High Court upholds it, the cost will also be decided by the High Court. Order for costs. As far as the order for costs is concerned, if the claims are valid, it is up to the discretion of the court to grant the cost as well as the compensation to the plaintiff, and it is sought to be decided at the discretionary capacity of the court depending on whether the cost is to be borne by the plaintiff or otherwise. Relief for an infringement of a partially valid specification. Now, as we have understood, specifications are of two types. It could be either valid or invalid. What is a valid specification and what is an invalid specification? When the particulars or the description of the invention are rightfully claimed and it is genuine, we say it is valid. If it is obtained by fraudulent means or if it is already anticipated, we say it is invalid. In which such a case, only claims for a valid specification will be upheld by the court, whereas that for invalid is not entertained by the court process. Appointment of scientific advisors. Section 115 under the Patent Act says, when there is any area as far as investigation of any invention is concerned, it is essential to appoint a competent authority, and that competent authority is a scientific advisor. In any suit for infringement or in any proceeding before a court, the court may at any time appoint an independent scientific advisor to assist the court and to inquire and report upon any question of fact or opinion, but not any area as far as legalities are concerned. So, well, thank you, my friends. We have now understood the area as far as infringement is concerned, what are the various reliefs that are required to be obtained, and the rights of the plaintiff with regard to injunction, damages, and account for profits. Thank you very much.